welcome back to another episode of Talking Sense. I'm your host, Sammy, and we also have
Taylor.
And we have a special guest here today. She works here at Heritage, and her name is Jen Beester, and I'll let her introduce herself.
I'm Jen Beester. I'm the SBA Relationship Manager here at Heritage Federal.
To help our audience get to know you, we would like to play 20 questions under 2 minutes. How this works is we'll set a timer for 2 minutes, see if we can ask you 20 questions under 2 minutes. Don't think about your answer, just rapid fire answer.
Okay.
All right, so Shelby's gonna flip the timer and first thing that comes to mind, okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
I guess I'm as ready as I'm ever gonna be.
All right, and go. What's your go-to comfort show?
Comfort show, Schitt's Creek, probably.
Oh, love it. Okay. Would you rather have unlimited knowledge or unlimited creativity?
Unlimited knowledge.
Okay. Go-to coffee order?
I like the flat white from Starbucks.
Okay. Batman or Superman?
Definitely Batman.
Okay. Morning routine must do?
Coffee. Yeah. And coffee and coffee.
Mm-hmm. Favorite store?
Probably Target.
Night out or night in?
Night in.
Same. If you were a flavor of ice cream, what flavor would you be?
Mint chocolate chip.
What activity do you waste the most time on?
Oh, probably scrolling social media.
Don't we all?
Okay, are you going to miss the U.S. penny?
No.
Would you rather live under the sea or in space?
In space.
Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
How often do you order pizza?
Probably once a week.
What's your favorite weekend activity?
We watch Colts football every Sunday. Mm-hmm. We go to church. We go to the grocery store. So I like our little routine on Sunday.
Yeah. Favorite movie villain?
I don't watch a lot of movies.
Okay, skip. What was your college mascot?
Screaming Eagle.
Woo, Screagles. Would you rather have someone narrate your life out loud or live background music your whole life?
Background music my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. I want to talk about, would you rather live under the sea or in space? This triggered me. I have the biggest fear of space. I would never go.
I have the biggest fear of under the sea.
No, so. I want to be a mermaid. I definitely want to live under the sea.
Yeah, before I went to space. Like, you would ride, if they said free trip in a rocket to space.
Yes, would go. I would go.
Not me.
I would.
No, you'd be like Katy Perry.
Well, I'd probably be like, can I take Katy Perry? I'd probably be like, can I take my kids with me? So then I'm going, yeah.
No. So, Jen, thanks for being here today. So SBA loans stands for Small Business Administration. So in your own words, what does SBA mean?
The Small Business Administration is a government agency that exists to allow services and resources and access to capital to new and existing small business owners. And they do that through various programs that they have, but also more relatable to us at the credit union, they also guarantee the loans that we can provide to the borrower for financing purposes.
Mm-hmm. So it's a government loan?
It's a government guaranteed loan. Okay. So the loan is made at Heritage, but the SBA provides a guarantee of a certain percentage amount of the loan. And what that really means is if the loan were to go into default, the SBA would make us at Heritage or whoever, mm-hmm. right, whole that percentage amount that was guaranteed to begin with.
So Heritage wouldn't be out any money if somebody didn't make their payments?
Well, we would be out the part that's not guaranteed.
Okay, so the whole thing's not guaranteed.
It's not wholly guaranteed.
Okay. Yeah. But it's like the SBA takes on a bit of the risk.
They take on
more so than we.
A decent amount of the risk, depending on the product type. But the SBA program definitely helps banks and credit unions get comfortable with financing for clients that might not otherwise be able to be conventionally financed without a lot of heartburn.
I was about to say, so these small businesses that are applying for SBA loans, would they not qualify for normal loan?
Some of them would not. Sometimes if businesses are very startup in nature, you know, they don't have a track record to go back and look at. And that's what credit underwriting teams really like to see. They like to see the past so that they can make decisions for the future.
So if you're a new business, that's hard.
So if you're a new business, that's very hard. And so the SBA kind of relieves some of the angst with the financing institution when they can provide that guarantee. And then the SBA doesn't just benefit the bank or the credit union. The SBA also benefits the borrower because, like we talked about, they also can get the financing that they might not otherwise get. But also when loans are SBA guaranteed, sometimes they get a little more favorable terms in repayment. So when you have a brand new customer, a brand new enterprise, the last thing you want to do is slap them with a giant payment, you know, maybe over 5 years. Well, SBA says, well, we'll give you up to 10 years. And so that reduces the monthly payment, lets businesses kind of get on their feet a little bit more, helps that cash flow, especially at the initial starting point.
Would businesses still make their payments to Heritage if they had an SBA loan through us?
That's correct. We own the note and it would be repaid just like a regular.
They don't have like every month or whatever, like a check to Heritage and a check to SBA.
No, that's a good question. But no, it's just one payment to Heritage. The SBA just backs the loan.
So backs it as in like if it were to go into default.
Right. For that certain percentage.
So they're not necessarily getting paid back. Okay. That makes sense.
Are there different types of SBA loans that would fit different businesses?
Fitting the different business maybe is not so much of the concern with the different product types. Product type is a little bit driven by purpose, a little bit driven by risk appetite at the organizational level. There's the express option. Those are kind of reserved for smaller loan amounts, your client profiles that maybe look a little less risky because the SBA guarantee is less on the express loan product type. And then we call it the full SBA 7A. And that's anywhere from 75 to 85% of the loan is guaranteed. Now, the caveat to that is it has to go through a lot more rigorous due diligence and underwriting at the SBA level, right? So the express loan gets kind of managed here in-house, and the 7A would have those extra steps and the extra underwriting team and due diligence process. And then the 504, which we don't do a lot of here, the SBA 504, or we have not historically, we can. Those are where we partner with a CDC and we would come up with a structure. For example, like we would take on 50% of the loan amount, the CDC would take on 40%, and then the borrower would have to come with the remaining 10% in cash.
Okay. So as I'm sitting here and you're saying all this, and I'm thinking of small businesses, SBA loans, small business. But then you mentioned like if they are, maybe they're like brand new and they don't have like historical data to go off of. What is considered a small business? Like, is it revenue? Is it number of employees?
Yeah, it's primarily driven by revenue. And the max SBA loan amount is $5 million for the 7A. Okay. So there's a little bit of information if you didn't know. So we can do anything, I think, here at Heritage, anything from 10,000 to 5 million. And there's some more constraints around like the express product and things like that, though.
So if somebody needed more than $5 million, they would just be a regular like business loan?
I have not in my experience come across a situation like that. To answer that would probably be a little bit murky for me. You could probably see if the financing institution could get creative with how they are able to accommodate that client. But typically, you know, when you're talking bigger dollars like that, you're talking about probably not brand new, totally off the ground business. Mm-hmm. These are typically businesses that have been around, that have the track record, that maybe they just don't have enough collateral. That's what happens a lot with your service industries, right? So even like a nice medical facility that you know generates a lot of cash flow, at the end of the day, when they need to get a loan, they don't have a lot of collateral. And that's that third source of repayment on the loan in, you know, the worst case scenario. So that's where the SBA can really come in and shore that up and make everybody feel a lot better about the transaction.
Do you have any success stories of your past SBA business clients?
I do. I think they all are a little bit success story. But one
you have a favorite.
I do have. I mean, have one that it was really felt like a sweet ending when we got it to the finish line, but it was a partial stock purchase. Mm-hmm. And we had one owner retiring, another ownership coming in, and those can get a little bit tedious at the SBA level, but we were able to successfully round the corner and get it closed, and it felt very successful for everyone.
What made that one special? Like, what was the process start to finish?
Well, I think what made that one special is I'd have to probably go back and explain to you. So every fiscal year, the SBA can change some of the requirements and they can adjust their standard operating procedures and things like that. And so I had started this conversation with this client prior to some big changes that they made in the SBA SOP. And it created a lot of extra hurdles for us. But both sides just persevered through it. And we got to the end and we were able to complete it. I mean, there were times that I didn't know if it was going to happen just because of multiple changes over and over. But we were able to get it done.
And what was that? Like how many months was that?
It started in March and it was done in July. So
wow. Okay.
That was, so with all the changes and everything, and, I mean, that's only what, like 4 months?
Right. Months? Yeah. It was 4 to 5 months.
So now they have new ownership?
Yes.
So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's been a great partnership. So that's a good one. But I think they're all a little bit success stories because we get the opportunity to help people that really like want to just follow their dream and be their own boss. And, and they have big ideas. Everybody can have big ideas, but not everybody has the capital to just put it into real life, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
So that's where we can really come in with this program, this SBA program, and really change the lives for people. I mean, we can really make some life-changing moves for them when we can offer these products to them. So.
Yeah. So special. So how long have you been SBA manager at Heritage? Because you have a long history with Heritage, but how long have you been?
I've only been at the SBA relationship manager. I just celebrated my 1 year anniversary last week.
So have you, tell us.
But I feel like I've done it for 10 years.
So have you seen within this 1 year of being SBA manager, like the benefit of small businesses here in our community?
I have. And even before I was in the sales space, I was in the underwriting space for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so I was the person kind of guiding that decision on the SBA loan before I became like more the face of the relationship. And so I do think I've always understood it to some level, the importance. But to switch to the sales side where you get to meet the people and hear their stories and my goodness, sometimes I meet their family, you know, and I get invited to a birthday party.
Yeah, that's so special.
I mean, the community development, right, is probably one of my favorite parts of this job. So I do see it in a different way, I guess, in short, to tell you, than I saw it as being in the back office space. Yeah.
But it definitely gave you a better understanding of the sales part of this, right? Knowing the underwriting piece of it.
Yes, yes. Being able to look at a loan request and kind of know if it's going to be a yes or no before it ever hits the credit table definitely creates a lot of efficiency for me and for Heritage as we navigate through the SBA program and just conventional financing program because I do other things besides SBA too.
So for the average lay person listener, what is underwriting in your own words?
Ooh, underwriting. Underwriting is the process that goes through the financial statements, the credit bureaus, the tax returns of the business and the people, and they analyze certain metrics that help determine the risk of the loan and then base that decision on the risk appetite of the organization or the credit union or bank. So that is what underwriting really does.
They make it make sense.
They do. They put all the numbers together. They love ratios and formulas, and they just make sure that we keep the bank and credit union balance sheets healthy and balanced.
The math people.
Math people.
They're the math. They are the math people. That's right. So now I'm the math person kind of and the salesperson.
So once somebody, say they got an SBA loan through you, do you just, you know, give them the money and you're done? Or is there a relationship built to where they're coming back to you for other questions or other products, services, things like that?
Oh, yeah. So for me, I'm their relationship manager. And so right out of the gate, I explained to them, like, I am your person for all of your banking needs. And many of them I can help you with. And even if I can't, I will find out who can. And so I'm kind of like that initial, I'm that main contact point, and I would not do business any other way. To me, it's not ever transactional.
So it's relationship.
It is very much relationship.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, who wouldn't want to have somebody that they can pick up their phone and call about any financial related question or inquiry about their business?
That's right. And I just want them to have the best experience, the best banking experience that they can have.
So. Well, and you explain it so well, and you do know the underwriting side, but you're also a people person. So you can help their dreams come true because you know how to explain it and you know how to tell people what they need or what they're asking for.
I mean, there's been times I get loan requests in and I'll take a look and it's maybe not right now, but here's what you could be working on to be bankable in the future or to be able to get financed in the future. And people just really appreciate that. There's a way to say no in a way that helps them grow. And
oh yeah, for sure.
People that weren't bankable a year ago come back and now they are. I mean, I really just had one, was not able to get the loan done at this time, email me last night and said, you know what, thank you for all of your hard work. Regardless of decision, I'd really still love to open some checking accounts with you here. And so I worked on that today for that person. And I just think that.
And then they'll come back to you in a year with a loan.
Yes, I did think that too already. Yeah.
Well, I love that.
So we have a mid-podcast segment we will play with you called Broker Bougie. Basically, we are going to give you a scenario and ask you if you think it is broker bougie. If it's something that you are willing to pay for, it's bougie, right?
Yeah.
So is it broker bougie to subscribe to 5 or more streaming services?
Oh, that's broke to me.
How many streaming services do you have?
Not five.
All right. Sammy, how many streaming services do you have?
Let's see.
I think I could name the ones that I don't have.
Sammy's probably got 30.
Yeah, I have way too many. Like, way too many.
I have a few of Sammy's on my TV.
I know. You have to have them all to watch shows.
I think I have Netflix and YouTube TV.
I have Netflix, Apple.
Oh, and Amazon. I have Disney Plus.
I have Amazon.
Oh, I have Amazon.
I don't have
too.
Disney Plus. I don't know, guys. I have a lot of kids.
Does
I don't
Apple
really
Music
have all
count
the time
as
to watch
streaming
TV.
Service? No. But technically, it is a streaming service.
I think TV streaming, to be specific.
So how many do you have?
Oh, gosh. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Disney Plus, Apple TV, HBO, Paramount Plus, Peacock. Is that it? Is that all of them?
I feel like you rattled off.
You have Amazon? Did you say
I
all?
Think I said Amazon.
Yeah.
I have like NFL Sunday Ticket.
She's got a ball.
You have them all.
I mean, at this point, I'm about to just like bring back DirecTV.
Sammy watches a lot of TV.
Here's the deal. Listen, I have a little mini antenna that I have in my living room because I refuse to pay for cable.
My mom does that. And you get the local channels, right?
Like, I do. Yes. Yeah. If I can watch Sunday football, I think I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got to share this story because the mini antenna thingy. So to watch like the football games that are local, you have to have the antenna, right? Well, we didn't have one. So I Googled and TikToked how to make a homemade antenna. And I know like, I think you could use aluminum foil and stuff or whatever, but I found a better way. You take the coax cable that comes out of the back of your TV, you know, mm-hmm. Is this making sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you find a cord, an outlet that would plug into the wall, and at the other end, like maybe it plugs into like something else, not like your phone, but like maybe like an air purifier or something. And you plug that in into the coax and you put the outlet thing like in the window.
I feel it like does that work?
Really?
It works like a dream. Yes.
I feel like you could just buy an antenna.
Yes, but it was the principle that I was like, I'm going to figure this out.
It feels like you're messing with like electricity, like you could electrocute yourself.
I don't know.
But, like, shock yourself.
But it was, like, coming out of the TV, not, like, out of the outlet.
Not out of the outlet.
Okay.
So maybe just a little shock.
Maybe just a little.
Don't you agree?
It works so good.
I mean, I'm tempted to try it just because I want to see if it works.
Yes.
But then I think my husband will look at me like I have to.
You just tell Ted to give me a call, and I'll walk him through it. I sent pictures to Cody when he was at work. I was like, look what I did.
It's probably like my wife's a genius.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I'm sure.
Or she's gone mad.
I will pay hundreds of dollars for streaming services, but refuse to go buy it.
That is real. That is honestly the fundamental issue here.
Yeah. I have a problem, I know.
Okay. What if the listener wants to start their own business?
So if the listener wants to start their own business and they haven't procured a mentor or anyone that can kind of help support them along the way. We have the Small Business Development Center in downtown Evansville, and they're a great free resource for people to use. They offer business plan and projection mentoring. They have classes like on how to use QuickBooks. They have a start your own business class that you can take.
I've heard such great things about them.
They're great and they're free. I mean, they exist kind of like the SBA, like solely to
benefit small businesses.
Benefit small business. So I think that that's really important. I will get calls of people that aren't quite ready for me, but they are ready to talk to them. And so that's a really great partnership that we can start at the beginning and they can work with the SBDC advisor. And these advisors are like retired or semi-retired professionals in banking, finance, accounting industries.
And you're on this SBDC advisory council, right?
I'm not an advisor, but I do sit on the advisory council. And so I'm kind of more of an ear to the ground for them with trends and things like that. That's kind of more my role in that space. But I can work with the advisor and the client when they're ready for me. And we can work on, you know.
It's like a warm handoff and then bring them back to me.
That's right. It's a little bit of a boomerang. And so that's really important. I wish a lot of people knew that that was there. And I would like them to understand that these are all really important steps that if you're going to be successful, they challenge you to think about the hard things that maybe you haven't thought about. So that's important. The other thing that is misunderstood, I'll say that's the best way I can phrase that. Your personal credit really matters in small business lending.
Really?
I think that people don't realize that. I get a lot of calls and they want to start a business. But then when we get to talking about their credit score, they are a little bit confused. And what does this have to do with the business loan? It has everything to do with it. So we look at that. And I would safely say lots of institutions look at the personal credit score as part of the metrics that help guide the underwriting to make it a loan decision. So definitely if you're thinking about starting a business, but your credit's a little mediocre or not great, be working on that too.
What is the biggest thing to do to boost that?
The biggest thing to do to boost that obviously is to pay your bills on time.
Groundbreaking.
Number one.
Other than that, if you're already doing that.
The credit bureau is really a reflection of how you utilize debt though. That's a big part of the credit bureau that I think might be mysterious to people. And so when you have some good diversity in your credit bureau, I think that that helps. And I'll try to stay in my lane because I don't work for any of the credit bureau companies. But I think that just modest debt load and timely repayment and just like living within your means.
I would love to go down this rabbit hole.
Yeah, but you have to have credit. Like you can't just be like cash everything and pay with your debit card.
Like that's
you,
true.
Like a lot of financial,
like Taylor does.
Hey, like Ramsey's Solution says to do.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a very thin file, they call it a thin file.
That's
when you
me.
Don't have a lot happening. And so something that you could do to help that or kind of create a track record is to open a small finance account, or if you're in the need for a new vehicle, finance it maybe instead of pay cash.
This is a thin line I have to walk
when telling people what to do here, but to create just a little bit of a thicker file, they call it, you have to utilize some of it so that there's a track record to be seen.
Yeah. So you have to have a little bit of debt.
I mean, that feels like a dangerous...
Sorry to answer that. Really thinking about our listener, and our listener is like an average, their knowledge is like my knowledge probably.
Yeah. Probably. But so like there's a magic number with debt utilization.
So on a credit card, if you're over 50% utilized, it automatically drops your score. Mm-hmm. So you're really better off to have a higher credit limit and a lower balance.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So like if your credit card is like $10,000 limit and you have like $7,000 on there, then it might drop it.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question then for me personally, which might sound really silly, but maybe this will help someone out there. I got a new couch in the spring. Okay. And so obviously financed it because it was the cheaper option, just paid it off. Is it better to like keep nothing on that card, or do I need to put like something little on that card?
I don't know that there's an answer for that necessarily. I mean, without knowing your personal credit history, I don't want to encourage people to finance things if they don't have to. Here's another way you could do it is there's cash secured financing where if you, even if you have the cash, maybe you choose to finance it, you're probably going to get a really good interest rate. I can't speak to that 100%, but probably better because it's really low risk, right? You're borrowing your own money basically. And that could also help maybe build your credit.
But for that couch that I bought,
you need to close that credit card.
I was about to say, isn't it
an Ashley credit card?
Yes, but isn't it bad to close? Doesn't that ding your credit?
Well, just don't use it.
If you close that credit card, it'll...
Yeah, does, because that's probably your oldest account, right?
No.
You have an older account?
My car. Student loans as well.
Okay.
So you have activity on there, so I would not worry about the card.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can close it?
I mean, I would say you could close it if you want to close it. Yep.
So like I use a credit card for everything and then just pay it off every month. Is that building my credit?
Yes, I would say it is. I think that where it gets the important piece there is making sure that your limit is high so that you're not exceeding that 50%.
Threshold. And making sure you pay it off.
Because I do the same thing. I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I do it for the rewards. We put everything on there. We get a big, you know, nice check at the beginning of the year. But it's important that we keep it under the 50% because otherwise, you know, my little wallet hub will pop up and say, oh, Jen, your credit score dropped by so many points. So,
yes.
And not that that's a big deal. Credit scores, they shift a lot. Like most of them aren't stagnant. They go up and down all the time. But if you're going to use a credit card for everything, just make sure that you are either paying it like maybe more than once a month or you have a limit that's exceeds that mm-hmm. mark that would put you at the 50%.
The things you don't learn in high school.
I wish they would teach you this.
I know.
No, but you did learn shop, so you could.
You did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wood shop. Did you take wood shop?
No.
Oh.
Trying to think of some other classes that I've never used once since I left high school.
Geometry. Trigonometry. Mm-hmm. Algebra. U.S. history, which
basically
was my favorite.
Any of your maths.
Yeah.
Calculus.
Any math, basically. Any final words about the SBA?
I don't know that I have any final words. Just happy to answer any questions if anyone ever has any. You can find my bio on our website.
Yeah.
It's got my ways to contact me, email, cell phone, office phone. Happy to help field any of those questions and get you answers you need and get you in the direction you need to go.
Yes. And we do have an application on our website, too.
We do.
But you would rather them just like reach out to you first.
So the application, we do get loan applications in that portal, and that's fine. A lot of people get kind of stuck. And so if you want to go that route first, completely fine. But when you get stuck, please call me because I'd rather you not abandon the application and I can help you through it than for you to get overwhelmed and walk away. So if someone calls me versus doing the online application themselves, my team can put the application in, no problem. So
just call Jen.
Just call
Jen. Basically, just call me. Yeah.
Just call Jen. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. This was so much fun.
You can come back on our podcast if you want.
Okay.
We can cover more topics.
Yeah. We'll deep dive into credit. How to boost Taylor's credit so she can buy a home.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are other people out there who need that too. It's turning into my personal advice.
All right. Well, until next time. Thanks, everyone.
This podcast is for general information purposes only. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of Heritage Federal Credit Union. Heritage Federal Credit Union is federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Heritage is an equal housing lender. Membership restrictions apply. Programs, rates, terms, and conditions are subject to change without notice. Loans may be subject to credit review and approval, and property insurance may be required. The rate may vary depending on each individual's credit history and underwriting factors. Call 1-800-858-1693 for details about credit costs and terms.